Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. This is News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan Islamabad, and the program is Perspective. Listeners, today is 8th of December 2017, and time right now is 6:30. Well, the program is Perspective. I'm your host, Zahra Sikandar. In my studios, we have our co-host and co-analyst.
Assalamu alaikum and good evening, listeners. This is Ghina Meher.
And this is Waqas Saleem.
Welcome, listeners. You're listening to Perspective, and today in our program, we are going to talk about some of the very essential things which are lined up for you in today's program. Well, Pakistan's policy of peaceful neighborhood allows Kulbhushan Yadav to meet wife, mother, and on the other side, Benazir Income Support Program, Prime Minister directs authorities to devise a comprehensive strategy for BISP beneficiaries. Now, these are two of the very significant stories, but we cannot forget that Pakistan has reiterated its commitment to the objectives of SAARC and stresses for realizing objectives of SAARC Charter. Now, we are also seeing some of the very interesting and important developments happening on the regional front as well. But foremost and most important thing which we are faced with right now as far as our stature internationally is concerned, and we have always followed the policy of peaceful neighborhood. So in this direction, Pakistan has taken a step to allow Kulbhushan Yadav, the kind of a spy which has created so much unrest in Pakistan and was the main person or protagonist to take up all the subversive activities in Pakistan and also be the puppet of all the state-sponsored terrorism from the Indian side. He has been the front man for unleashing all that havoc and terrible chaos in the country. But still, Pakistan, on the humanitarian grounds, have allowed his wife and mother to meet him for the last time, obviously. So Pakistan expressed its readiness to arrange a meeting of detained Indian spy Kulbhushan Yadav with his mother and wife. And Pakistan says Indian attempts to convince the international community of its version of Pakistan says counterterrorism have failed miserably. In his weekly news conference in Islamabad, Foreign Office spokesperson Dr. Mohammad Faisal said India's desperate attempts to obfuscate the facts by trying to camouflage its crimes against humanity as counterterrorism efforts are fully exposed to the world. At the same time, the spokesperson said that Pakistan has always favored dialogue and negotiations for resolution of disputes. How far the neighboring countries, especially countries like India, and also the kind of countries which are somehow furthering the subversive agenda of Indian designs like Afghanistan, would be able to come up to the solution or negotiating table to resolve all the disputes and make this region viable for the economic development. That would be the question. But foremost, Kulbhushan Yadav has been allowed to meet his wife and mother. In fact, his wife and mother are allowed to see Kulbhushan Yadav. We will talk after it after the break.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs Channel presents in-depth insights into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion, Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan, Islamabad, and we are in Perspective. I'm your host, Lahira Sikandar, with my team, Gina Meher and Bakas Saleem. So, Pakistan's policy of peaceful neighborhood, I guess, Gina, you have always been so very vocal about Pakistan's stance as far as the regional situation is concerned and as far as the relation of Pakistani nation as a very responsible state in the Committee of Nations is concerned. So, how do you see this? Because this is the foremost thing, and I think it's very important to elaborate upon the Pakistan's initiative like this, which elaborate upon the Pakistan's peaceful neighborhood policy. So how do you see this thing, and how far do you think this step would help Pakistan in nurturing a better image which has been somehow tarnished by the Indian propaganda?
Right. Thank you very much, Zara. I think, first of all, in order to understand this very, I would say that this the Kulbhushan Yadav's entire incident was something very important in the Indian and Pakistan relations in the recent terms. And today, a political prisoner has, because of the awareness and because of the human rights profile, a political prisoner, whenever he's part of a government, the government needs to be very careful. So I believe that Pakistan, in that terms, have been very carefully projecting an image that helps Pakistan to balance its own sovereignty, but also keep a balance in terms of having this idea that political prisoners and prisoners that require you to formulate a good human rights profile is something very important. And then when we talk about this, it's important that Pakistan needs to have that kind of a position. And because today in a liberal world order, you cannot treat the political prisoners in the same manner which was when the realist world order was there. So in a time like this, where Pakistan is actually focusing towards peace, focusing towards development, and this is the idea that today, to maintain the human rights profile, we need to have such initiatives. So I believe that this is something that would, of course, substantiate Pakistan's policy on the peaceful neighborhood.
Right, right. So Dr. Mohammed Faisal said Pakistan has expressed its readiness for a visit of Indian spy Kulbhushan Yadav's mother and wife to meet him. And he said a diplomat from Indian High Commission in Islamabad will be present in the meeting to be held in Islamabad this month. So how do you see this thing, Vikas? Perhaps or certainly it's going to be the last meeting with his kith and kins. It is some kind of preparatory signal on part of Pakistani government to make this situation go to its logical conclusion?
I guess this will be too early to comment on such a situation, whereas as of now this is a gesture of peace, and in fact we should be take it into as in peaceful terms, and this in fact very gesture of Pakistan substantiate Pakistan's position of peaceful neighborhood, because Pakistan has always been acting with restraints when it comes to India, and specifically historically speaking, we have seen that how Pakistan has always been acting sanely when it comes to Pakistan and India relationship.
Right, Vikas, we will continue with this, but we are joined by Dr. Pervez Iqbal Chima online. Welcome to the show, sir. Pakistan is talking about the kind of meetings of Kulbhushan Yadav's wife and mother to him. And at the same time, Foreign Office spokesperson in his weekly conference said that India's desperate attempts to obfuscate the facts by trying to camouflage its crime against humanity as counterterrorism efforts are fully exposed to the world. So how do you see these two things coming at the same time? I think we have lost the connection over the telephone line, but somehow we would be rejoined, hopefully. So, Kansa, I will throw the same question towards you as well, because at the same time we are talking about Kulbhushan Yadav's, I'm compelled to say it as the last meetings, because obviously, as Gina was mentioning, that normally this thing does not happen when prisoners of war are kept or prisoner of such a severe degree are somehow being found guilty of their crimes, and somehow these things are proven over there as well. So these are India's how this thing would be able to overcome India's desperate attempts to obfuscate the
right. Zara, I think I will interrupt you here because we have Dr. Parvez Iqbal Cheema online, so you can carry on with your question.
No, it's all right. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
We hope that the signals remain over here, and we are talking about Pakistan's initiative to allow Kulbhushan Yadav to meet his wife and mother. At the same time, how do you think this move of Pakistan would be able to disperse mitigate or offset India's desperate attempts to obfuscate the peace processes and all kind of blame game which India throws at Pakistan?
Well, I look at this way, this is a very good gesture on the part of the Pakistanis. But then, when we look at the Pakistani policies, Pakistan has been making, similar kind of gestures even before. With the hope that it will actually influence the Indian government's policy pursuits and probably reduce the tension. I look at this way, it's a good move, it's a good gesture on the part of the government of Pakistan.
Right, sir. Right. Sir, when you're talking about Pakistan's overall human rights profile and especially treating a political prisoners diplomatically in this fashion, how do you think this would impact Pakistan's relationship with the other countries, especially China and Russia, and the kind of image that Pakistan is projecting through its foreign policy?
Well, I look at this way that this kind of gestures always project your image positively. There is
right.
No doubt about that. And the other countries also begin to appreciate that despite the fact that we have a lot of tension with India,
right.
We have lots of squabbles of many things,
right.
including the major, the Kashmir dispute. Despite that, we are always willing, to develop or actually offer gestures which can support the eventual advent of the peace in the region.
Right.
Talks of another very important aspect, as you have already mentioned, that Pakistan has been previously showing the gestures of goodwill, but India is always reciprocating negatively. So, sir, in this situation, how do you see that the situation will, bilateral relationship between Pakistan and India will further?
I think I do understand. I understand the question. But it's one party is negative, the other party is positively making moves. I think we should continue making positive moves without compromising our national interests. I look at this way. And eventually, if it does not influence the target country, it certainly spreads positive vibes in the rest of the world, and the rest of the world begins to appreciate that one party is making all kinds of positive gestures, whereas the other party is consistently responding with negatively.
Right, sir. One final question I would like to ask you, but that's a bit different from this case, obviously. Pakistan has also, referred to the unanimous passing of Pakistan-sponsored resolution of the Committee of United Nations General Assembly regarding the right to self-determination of people of Kashmir. And we maintain this thing that India stands isolated and alone as far as Kashmir is concerned. How far do you think the international community, India does particularly stands alone, because we have seen the role of China and we have seen the role of Iran as well into the politics of Pakistan and this region. So do you think this resolution would come up to some great mark?
Well, I look at this way that you see in the international relation, nations actually first secure their own national interests. They advance and secure their own national interests. After that, if there is a space, they will probably make concessions. Concession like actually supporting the right party in cases like similar to Kashmir or something like that. I think I look at this way that the international community and many of the leading members of the international community are constrained or they're deliberately avoiding the issue, coming out openly in support of the Kashmiris whose rights are being violated rather consistently. And I think I will look at this way, they must be actually appreciating the Pakistani moves. But at the same time, they would also say that if we go against India, this might compromise part or wholly of their national interest.
Right, sir. Dr. Parvez Iqbal Cheema, thank you so very much for sparing your precious time to Radio Pakistan. Well, listeners, we have a very comprehensive and a very quick and brief analysis in a way, and we have summed up a very important points over here. And Gina and Vikas, I'll again come to you on this very issue, that somehow all the nations, and we have seen in our individual lives even sometimes, that, you know, sometimes we are not able to openly support or, project the right image, or are not in a position to say spade a spade. And when it comes to, you know, Committee of Nations, and then the countries have all their national interests. So how far, if we try to compare the national interests of countries vis-a-vis role of Pakistan into this regional politics, and in comparison to India's relation with other countries and their national interest into that?
I guess the role of Pakistan in regional politics has always been very positive, because Pakistan has always been facilitating peace process in Afghanistan, and despite all its capability and capacity, Pakistan has always been acting with restraint towards India. And along with that, you have also seen that when it comes to any of the international issue, Pakistan has always responded in a very positive way. So Pakistan is a very responsible country. Other than that, you can also see the efforts that Pakistan has put in to eradicate the menace of terrorism from its soil. And in this connection, the operations launched inside the length and breadth of Pakistan are in fact examples to this fact. And then this is in fact a global service, because terrorism is not only Pakistan's issue, it's in fact a global issue. Moving further, we have seen that for the last 2 or 3 years, since Modi has took power in India, India has committed thousands, I guess, of violations of line of control and working boundaries. So Pakistan at times befittingly responded, but still Pakistan acted with a restraint, and Pakistan has avoided a major confrontation in the region. Whereas on the other side, if you look at India, so India is trying to engage Pakistan at the eastern border. So in fact, it's indirectly fueling terrorism. On the other side, it's trying to destabilize Pakistan through western border,
right,
and it's using Afghan soil. So India is fanning extremism in the region. And you can also see the Indian posture towards China as well. Previously, there was a conflict on the Chinese border with India, and then Indian forces had to come back. So, you know, India is, you know, somehow trying to get into an aggressive posture, whereas Pakistan has always maintained its posture of a player that aims at regional stability, security, and peace.
Right, and I think I would just quickly add to Vikas's point is that, and that would also summarize his point, Pakistan in the region has always been, has acted as a balancer. And that is very important, because a region that is influenced by the power of great politics, a regional balancer must be there. Because if you notice, Zara, India has the biggest, in terms of territory, the biggest country in South Asia, surrounded by other smaller countries in South Asia. So Pakistan, being the only nuclear power apart from India, acts as a balancer. So that also substantiates Pakistan's policy. So a different counter-narrative to Indian politics has always been given by Pakistan.
Right, right.
And as you say that, you know, it's a peace initiative.
I think that's a very important point over here, and we would deliberate upon it in a little while, but it's time for Mid-Hour News in Perspective.
Foreign Office says President Trump's decision to recognize occupied Jerusalem as Israeli capital will derail prospects for a lasting peace in the Middle East. Clashes have erupted between Palestinian protesters and Israeli forces in occupied West Bank. Curfew-like restrictions remained in place in Indian held Kashmir today to stop people from holding anti-India, anti-Israel and anti-US demonstrations. Pakistan has reiterated its commitment to the objectives of South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation. United Nations has warned against any hasty returns of Rohingya Muslims to Myanmar from Bangladesh. Britain and European Union have agreed on a deal to move Brexit talks forward.
That was Vukas with Mid-Hour News, and it's time for a break in perspective.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
रेडियो पाकिस्तान का करंट अफेयर्स चैनल रोजाना सुबह 7 बजे से रात 12 बजे तक लम्हा बलम्हा बदलती सूरत हाल पर रिपोर्ट्स, मुजाकरे, इंटरव्यूज, हालात हाजरा पर अपने सामईन को बाखबर रखने का अहम जरिया। इस्लामाबाद से 1152 किलोहर्ट्ज पर, कराची से 639 किलोहर्ट्ज, लाहौर से 1332 किलोहर्ट्ज, पेशावर से 1260 किलोहर्ट्ज और क्वेटा से 756 किलोहर्ट्ज पर रेडियो पाकिस्तान का करंट अफेयर्स चैनल सुबह 7 बजे से रात 12 बजे तक रेडियो पाकिस्तान कौम की आवाज हर दम हर लम्हा आपके साथ
रेडियो पाकिस्तान न्यूज एंड करंट अफेयर्स चैनल प्रेजेंट in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
You're listening to News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan Islamabad, and we are talking in perspective about Pakistan's policy of peaceful neighborhood. Well, on the other side, I think, you know, it's very important that Pakistan should come up with, especially in so many places where we have proper platforms, that we should bring on the people who have certain ideas, especially in the context of emerging economic goals and economic initiatives, which right. are at our doorsteps, and we have so many things to talk about. I think it's very important to bring on all those talented people to certain platforms and bring on and take some their policy goals and implement into our national mainstream politics and institutions if we really want to compete. And I'm still stuck into that point, you know, because the countries have their national interest, and all countries always go ahead with the countries with which their interests obviously resonate, and they can have better idea. So I think if we are talking about, no doubt, Pakistan has always pursued a policy of peaceful neighborhood and has been always a very, if you see the image of peacekeeping missions of Pakistani troops across the globe, you would see it's Pakistan is one of the largest contributor to the peacekeeping missions around the world. Not even in that, but we have seen we have taken so many strides into human rights, from the Human Rights Watch, we can see how much Pakistan has put in effort into eradicating and legislating against all the crimes that we are seeing somehow, which are so very much common in other countries, but somehow Pakistan is being highlighted by countries like India or which are acting to tarnish the image of Pakistan. So I think we need more vocal voices, we need more institutions, and we need more channelization to put all these things if we really want to bring some substantial effort towards betterment of Pakistan. So there is another thing. There is a Benazir Income Support Program that says Prime Minister directs authorities to devise a comprehensive strategy for BISP beneficiaries. And Prime Minister Shahid Hakan Abbasi has directed to chalk out a comprehensive graduation strategy enabling the beneficiaries of this program to earn their livelihoods. And he was chairing this meeting on Friday, that is today, and Prime Minister approved a proposal to set up an endowment fund for BISP that will ensure fiscal continuity in lean budgetary periods and act as a catalyst in generating income for supporting various development schemes. We have seen that. We have even seen those text messages somehow which are randomly sent. We talk about the very downgraded segment of our society, the people who are living in a space which is less enough for people or a unit or family to live in. Still, they are living, and I think this is a very good initiative in a way to provide subsistence amount of money to let them live. But now, taking the strides and making this program even more beneficial. They're talking about the lean budgetary periods and a kind of a process that could actually catalyze in generating income for supporting various element schemes. Now, how do you see, how would you elaborate upon all those initiatives which could actually help generate income for supporting such schemes?
Right. Zahra, I think the Benazir Income Support Program is one of the flagship programs that has actually taken into the account the fact that how people need to earn their own livelihoods. And it's not only about giving money to people, but it's also about how to sustain that money.
Exactly.
And how that income must be generated and how it must be maintained. So this is one of the most important pillars of this program. And when you're analyzing a program, of course, there are a lot of things involved. You have to look into the measures of the budget, how it must be implemented. So in that way, empirically, it's important that the right data must be provided and the right research must be provided.
Right.
Because often when we're looking at developing programs, so there is lack of research. So these are some of the things that one can focus on so that the right kind of appraisal can come forward. So if we purely talk in the economics and business terms, so that's the SWOT analysis is very important.
Yeah.
For any program to run successfully, its strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. So that is something that must be undertaken. So now if the Prime Minister is supervising this and he has been briefing about it, so let's see, oftentimes we see that, in Pakistan, we tend to have a lot of great ideas, but unfortunately, because of lack of research and because of the lack of data, those programs are difficult to sustain.
True.
And they do not have the same kind of impact that they are desired for.
Very true.
So apart from having, yes, good intentions, the right kind of measures must be ensured to take this forward.
Right. Vikas, do you think it's more like, instead of giving me fish, teach me how to catch fish, right? So I think now bringing the people out of just taking the money and living, it's good to actually utilize their potential and make them feel as well as part of a society that could actually self-sustain themselves and be, channelized in a direction where they have this urge or where they can actually, be able to come up with ideas. So instead of letting them go with that, with that sum, it's good in a way to thought of some process where they can actually help in raising the money themselves also. But when we talk about, we have seen so many NGOs even which are talking about generating the income within their own organization instead of taking up the bounties or charity from the people or the public. Now there is a new trend of actually generating the income for an organization through their own tasks, and they are like there are so many academic programs or refreshers or trainings and stuff like that. But dealing with such a segment of society, how do you think government would be able to generate income for such programs and make it more viable?
Zara, these days the idea of sustainability is in vogue. When it, if you will look at from the global perspective, you will see that United Nations and other bodies are pushing for sustainability of development goals. And when it comes to development, both in terms of tangible and intangible means, I guess this is in fact a very good decision and a right step in the right direction, because making people self-sustainable is the idea of the time. And in the modern scenario, we have seen entrepreneurship is quite an important thing, because these entrepreneurs add to the national economy. Plus, there are various organizations which are, you know, putting people on a growth of progress and prosperity. So instead of producing beggars, it's important to produce entrepreneurs. And another very important aspect that these days you might have seen, the mushroom growth of microfinance banks. This is also an idea to, you know, bring entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs, self-sustainable entrepreneurs, you know, major chunk of the economy, productive citizenship, and people rightly engaged into the national fabric. So these are, this is in fact a very right decision by the Prime Minister to make people self-sustainable.
Right. I think I'll just give one more example regarding microfinance, because in Bangladesh, Grameen Bank was a huge initiative
that was a global success
in terms of measuring, you know, human index. Exactly. So hence, microfinancing is something which is very crucial for sustainable development.
And perhaps this is the reason this on this occasion Prime Minister was briefed about various initiatives being undertaken under the umbrella of BISP, including the Unconditional Cash Transfer Program and Vasila Taleem Program, that has so far benefited 5.6 million families and 1.8 million children. And the meeting was informed that after successful completion of pilot phase in 4 districts and door-to-door survey in 10 districts, National Socioeconomic Registry Survey would be rolled out in the remaining districts of the country in February next. Meanwhile, students of Balochistan Residential College, Lorelei, met Prime Minister Shahid Hakan Abbas in Islamabad on Friday, and this interaction was part of the initiative to invite young leaders to the highest offices and brief them about the working of the government. And Prime Minister interacted with the students, inquired about their education, and answered their questions. And Shahid Hakan Abbas stated that the government is focusing on the development of Balochistan and socioeconomic uplift of its people. And Gina, we have our next word.
Right. We have Asfandar Bhandara with us, leader of PMLN government. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
So we're talking about the Benzir Income Support Program, and Prime Minister Shahid Hakan Abbasi has directed the authorities to devise a comprehensive strategy for the beneficiaries of this program. How do you evaluate this program, and what do you take out of Prime Minister's keen eye on this very program?
Well, while we appreciate BISP and what it's doing, we also don't want to create a beggary society.
Right.
Rather than, rather than giving money to the poor people, I would like to give them teach them how to fish, rather than giving them a fish. So I would rather spend this money on some vocational, technical expertise for the poor ladies.
Right.
And you know, teach them some skill whereby they can stand on their own feet. It's a good program, and,
right.
So it is helping the poor people, but we should not make this scheme.
But sir, that's once again, you know, directed to the people who are already, you know, somehow receiving this sum. What about the kind of people we have thought about? We have heard a lot about this, that Asamba would be, you know, beggary free and there would be no beggars on the street. But still we see there is so much lot of such people which are roaming around. So how do you think this initiative would act as a model for other initiatives to come and engage that segment of society as well into a productive unit?
Well, as I told you, it's my personal opinion that I would rather, instead of giving money, I would rather help the poor person, give him. I would not say that other models should follow BISP. Certainly not. I would not suggest that. And rather than we should be spending money on vocational institutes whereby we can teach some skills to these poor people.
Right.
Yeah. So I have a slight different opinion on
that. Right. We are really thankful to you for giving your precious time to Radio Pakistan. Thank you. Thank you. Well, listeners, we were in conversation with
Aswanya Bhandara.
Yeah, and now it's time for a little break in perspective.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insights into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
रेडियो पाकिस्तान का करंट अफेयर्स चैनल रोजाना सुबह 7 बजे से रात 12 बजे तक लम्हा बलम्हा बदलती सूरत हाल पर रिपोर्ट्स, मुजाकरे इंटरव्यूज हालात हाजरा पर अपने सामईन को बाखबर रखने का अहम जरिया इस्लामाबाद से 1152 किलोहर्ट्ज़ पर कराची से 649 किलोहर्ट्ज़ लाहौर से 1332 किलोहर्ट्ज़ पिशावर से 1260 किलोहर्ट्ज़ और क्वेटा से 756 किलोहर्ट्ज़ पर रेडियो पाकिस्तान का करंट अफेयर्स चैनल सुबह 7 बजे से रात 12 बजे तक रेडियो पाकिस्तान कौम की आवाज हर दम हर लम्हा आपके साथ
रेडियो पाकिस्तान न्यूज एंड करंट अफेयर्स चैनल प्रेजेंट in-depth insights into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Listeners, we have finally entered into the last quarter of our program and we have talked about some of very important stories for the day, Pakistan's policy of peaceful neighborhood. Then we have shed some light on the Bain Sirianka support program and the need of AVRA for this growing massive population in Pakistan and how we can actually help the, raise the living standard of people. Pakistan reiterated its commitment to the objectives of SAARC, stresses for realizing objectives of SAARC charter and committee commitment was expressed. By Foreign Secretary Tehmina Jinjua while speaking at the reception hosted by Foreign Office to mark SAARC Charter Day in Islamabad on Friday, she said serious efforts are needed to realize the objectives of SAARC Charter. With the countries like India and now, if I'm not wrong, the addition of Afghanistan to this forum, maybe as an observer group, if I'm not wrong, if I'm not mistaken, how do you see that, you know, these nations could actually converge on the very agenda of regional development and would be able to make this organization viable?
Zara, thank you very much for this question. And it's one of the biggest challenges that South Asia is facing is that we currently do not have a very vibrant regional organization. If you compare it with, of course, the traditional organization in terms of interdependence, that is the European Union. Apart from that, ASEAN has been doing really well in terms of promoting their interest as a team together. And similarly, we have now the Shanghai Corporation, Cooperation Organization as well, led by China, in which both India and Pakistan are now earlier on they had observer status, and now they have full membership in that. So now, see, this is where you see that even a regional organization is played by a lot of politics.
Right.
Where both Pakistan and India, they should be under the SAARC umbrella and they should be promoting their interests, but unfortunately from the Indian side, this has never been possible. So on the other hand, we have SCO, where now both the countries are there under the keen eye of China. So, of course, because China is there, but then yet China has its commitment to its own region as well. And China is following a good neighborhood policy towards the entire Asian Pacific region.
Right.
So now, coming to the SAARC Charter, I think Pakistan, if they have shown this commitment, it's time to mobilize the other smaller countries as well. And like the Foreign Secretary said, that Pakistan has immense natural resources, and the entire SAARC region has immense natural resources and the manpower. So this can be channelized into something in creating a more peaceful region, and this also goes with Pakistan's recent foreign policy initiatives as well.
I think you also would agree to this point that now it's been like a decade, especially post 9/11 world, that you know world have shifted its focus or its natural outcome from globalization or global integration to more regional integration and regionalization. So after going on to the global stature, now once again countries are reverting back to this regional strengthening of policies and regional somehow reaping the benefits of regional potential. We are seeing the Middle East is struggling. We are seeing Middle East is taking some very radical changes, radical steps to actually compete with the rest of the world and make that region viable, and they're even actually trying to shift their focus on from dependence on oil onto the more services-oriented society and are moving towards more greener and cleaner cities. At the same time, Bhutan is the country in this region and a member of SAARC organization which has negative carbon footprint in the world, and it still is working to actually make its increase its rank from that number to even the higher number, and they're more focused on promoting the greener technologies and making more forests. But we are seeing in this region that there is so much to be done as far as Pakistan is concerned. There are so much development projects, there are so much hydro potential, there are so much energy mix which is needed for the sustainability of this country. And obviously then competing within the region for the benefit of the region and for the benefit of the common people. So there are so many things to be done. And with the political scenario emerging in different forms, and with the threat of some side actors or parallel realities like ISIS and all those Al-Shabaab and every organization, a terrorist organization, which is actually hampering the development of the regions and is a constant threat to the almost in every country of the world. So there are so many things. How would the regional countries would be able to overcome these challenges? How far they can actually agree to one another, and how far they would be able to actually come up on the same page or with the consensus and see the thing which is a threat to one country as an equal threat to the other country, and would be able to make up some good model which is viable for the regional development. So if it's not a speculation, if it's not a thing which we may call as a premature analysis or a thing, which regional organization do you see would be able to take lead into next 10 or 20 years?
Zara, I will cut you here because we have an update to share with our listeners. Prime Minister Shahid Khaqan Abbasi has met the leader of Aga Khan, Prince Karim Aga Khan, and this is an exclusive meeting. Listeners, we will be sharing more of the details as they pour in.
Well, talking about Prince Karim Aga Khan, I'm seriously in love with you know, the yacht club which Prince Karim Aga Khan has over there, the Saudine club over there. So let's just hope we can actually have so much facilities with the fruits of development coming to this region. Right. We can have all these things as well. So the question remains to you, to both of you, in fact. Your quick comments, as a matter of regional development and economic goals, which region do you think is emerging or is going to be an emerging pole in the world?
I guess as of now, if you will be talking about the regions, so South Asia seems to be an emerging economy in the world, because with the introduction of China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, things have changed quite a bit in the region, and now its importance has grown manifold, and in coming future we can see that how economic activity will boom in this region.
Right.
And if you're talking about the regional organizations and their importance, I guess it's quite different, and it's quite difficult to predict the name of the organization that will be most successful, because in diplomatic terms, I guess it's quite difficult to analyze the success and failure of an organization in quite strict terms. Zahra?
Right. I think you have pointed out, made a point. Okay, I will have my analysis as well. Farhat, Gina.
Right, Zahra, I think if I just conclude this topic, again, linking this entire the South Asian initiative with Pakistan's own foreign policy, I think it's crucial, because South Asia has been unfortunately a power player for the great powers, and as a region, South Asia is blessed with a lot of manpower, with a lot of natural resources, so it's time that such a region must be cashed upon, and for that we need to look for work together.
Wonderful. So 2-1 maybe here? Because South Asia is obviously in the limelight. But when we talk about development or emerging of some region as the most viable or developed, or a kind of region which can offer a lot of opportunities to its people, I think if we are still going to remain into the divisive policies or divisive political confrontation among the nations, the whole potential which this region holds naturally is going to somehow go down the drain. So if you really want to work out, and if we are seeing a nation or a region which has been so much dependent on one single entity, is now shifting its focus for better things and in diverse things. So unless and until we have that approach, I think it would be difficult for this region to emerge on a global stage and make some better results for the people. Well, listeners, today, that was all for today, and we are done with the perspective for today. Today was Friday. Wish you all a very lovely weekend ahead. It's time that we should include the credits for this show, who has made the team which has made this program so very wonderful. Well, listeners, for today's program, Perspective, the sound engineer was Kashif Elias. Program coordinator, Mudassir Hussain Rajput. Program in charge, Asadullah Khan. And executive supervisor for the program, Javed Khan Jadoon. That was all from Waqas, Gina, and Zahra for today's perspective. Shortly, you will be able to listen Urdu news at 7 o'clock from News Studios. So, over to you.